So what we hear in our gospel today is a continuation of John chapter 6, the bread of life discourse. And if we just recall 1 week ago, these same people were just fed miraculously. 5,000 men, when you add women and children, more than 5,000 were fed by Jesus. But Jesus picks up and leaves and goes to Capernaum. And so the people look around and go, where did he go? And they get into boats and they follow him. I mean, and why not? And you think about just, you know, our basic needs in life, and food is up there at the top of the list. It's like, hey, we got a free lunch. Where did he go? He's not here anymore. He's in Capernaum. Well, let's go to Capernaum and see what we can get for free in Capernaum. And again, he is being pursued, you might say, for the wrong reasons. He says as much to them. You're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And then Jesus tries to bring them back to first principles. What about eternal life? What about God? What about your relationship with God? How are you drawing closer to God to be with him for eternity in heaven? And he advises the crowd, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. He didn't come to Capernaum to set up an all-you-can-eat buffet. He didn't come to Capernaum to be like a food vending machine for the crowds. He's actually planning a banquet, but not an earthly banquet, but a heavenly banquet. And the people are curious, what can we do? What can we do to accomplish the works of God? And Jesus tells them flat out, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. There it is. This is the call. This is the call by Jesus, the Son of Man. This is the call of Jesus, the Son of God. Will you believe in me? Will you follow me? Will you trust in God's providence? And, you know, after the miracle the day before, you'd hope they'd just jump up and say, yes, Lord. But no, they're still stuck on this whole, but we're going to get a free lunch out of this deal, right? What sign can you do? Okay, Lord, that was yesterday. Today, what sign can you do? Something. Do something for us that we can see. And once we see that sign, then we'll believe in you. I mean, just the day before, Jesus had fed the 5,000. But the people today are like, well, what can you do? And they actually kind of click the bar up a little bit, too, because they bring up Moses. You know, we heard about Moses in our first reading. But, you know, Moses gave us manna in the desert. He gave us bread from heaven to eat. Sure, Jesus gave us one day of food. But Moses, he gave us 40 years of bread. What are you going to do, Jesus? And again, we know this story of Moses so well. We heard it in our first readings, the Israelites. Of course, every time we hear about the Israelites and Moses, the Israelites are always so thankful for Moses. Start at the beginning of the story from today. The whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. I mean, again, it's kind of this story that keeps getting repeated over and over again in the Old Testament. They had just been freed from slavery. They had just crossed miraculously dry shod through the Red Sea. They saw the Egyptian soldiers. They saw the chariots tossed back into the Red Sea so that they would be safe. They were free from 400 years of slavery. They stood on the shores of the Red Sea, and they even sang out for joy, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has been my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. And then they leave the Red Sea, and they start heading towards the wilderness of Sinai. And what do they start doing? They start complaining. What do they start doing? They start grumbling. Moses, why are you leading us into this desert to make the whole community die of famine? The Israelites were free, but they wanted to go back to Egypt. They were free, but they wanted to go back to being slaves. Why? So they could sit next to their flesh pots and have their fill of bread. I mean, again, this story is as old as time. No matter what we get, no matter how good that might be, we want what we want, and we want it right now. And our plans, when we put our plans together that way, they don't always work out very good. But God's plans are always better. The question is, will we trust God? Will we trust God's plan for us? Will we follow God? Will we obey His commands? Do I trust God? But the Israelites, they wanted a sign. So God gave them a sign. The Lord said, I will rain down bread from heaven for you each day. The people are to go out and gather their daily portion. The manna was a sign of God's providence. But He Himself also said, this is a test. Will the Israelites follow my instructions? And we know the story of Exodus. We know the story of Moses and the desert wanderings. The Israelites aren't very good at following God's instructions. They don't listen to Moses. They grumble against Moses. And then there's that whole golden calf incident at Mount Sinai that just really, again, takes what should have been from the Red Sea to the Promised Land, what should have been a trip that might have only lasted less than a month, because they disobeyed, because they didn't follow God's plan. It was a trip that took them 40 years. But in those 40 years, God was faithful. In those 40 years, God provided manna in the desert. But it took 40 years for Israel to learn to trust God. It took 40 years to learn how to obey God. Their exodus ended up being a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong journey to learn what it means to be a disciple. A lifelong journey. What does it mean to follow God? So now we come forward into our gospel today, back to Capernaum. And once again, there's a whole crowd of Israelites, and they're asking for a sign. And this would better be a really good sign, Lord. Because after all, Moses gave us manna in the desert. And Jesus corrects them. And He reminds them, no, it was not Moses who gave you bread, but God who gave the bread from heaven. And then in the next part, Jesus makes an amazing claim. He says, my Father. And we hear this so frequently, we just kind of go right there. It's like, wait, pause, go back. What did He just say? Jesus just called God His Father. Okay, God is His Father. That would make Jesus the Son of God. Okay, who's talking to the Israelites? It's the Son of God talking to them that says, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So the people in Capernaum must have been thinking, bonus round. This isn't going to just be manna this time. It's going to be like super manna. We're going to get super manna from Jesus. And so they say to Him, sir. It shows what they think about Jesus. They don't even call Him rabbi. They just say, sir. Sir, give us this bread always. There we go. Put our hands out. Where's our free lunch? You provide for us, Jesus. But Jesus is going to offer them something better. Jesus is going to offer them Himself. The Son of God will provide for them. The Son of God provides for us the true bread of heaven. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Do we believe that? Do we take Jesus at His word? Do we trust that God's plan for our life is a better plan and that God will provide for us? The journey of discipleship is a lifelong journey. And we can ask ourselves today, where am I in my journey? Where am I in my exodus? Our lifelong journey is one that's a journey away from slavery. It's a journey away from the slavery of sin and a journey towards the promised land of holiness. Where are you in your desert right now? What's the wilderness that you're wandering through? Do you trust? Do you trust that God is providing for you on your journey? And will you trust in God's plan for your life? Or, like the Israelites, do you just want to sit there and complain and grumble? Your exodus, my exodus, is a journey that brings us to the Mass today. And it brings us today to be fed. Jesus wants to give us this bread from heaven, his body, which is true food, and his blood, which is true drink, given up for you and given up for me, for the forgiveness of our sins and for our salvation. There is only one path to salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. So for the next Sundays in August, we're going to continue to hear from John chapter 6. We're going to continue to hear Jesus unfold his plan, to unfold God's plan for our salvation. Jesus is the living bread come down from heaven. Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. His life that he gives, and he gives it freely. His life that he gives for us and for the life of the world. So today, as we come forward to receive the Eucharist, perhaps it's a good time to just say a quiet prayer of thanksgiving, to thank God who provides for us, who loves us, who pours out his grace upon us. You know, during the Mass, there are prayers that are audible and there are prayers that are quiet. During the purification, the priest, the deacon, says a quiet prayer that we don't have our microphone on. And so this prayer that we say is my prayer for you today. It goes like this. What has passed our lips as food, O Lord, may we possess in purity of heart, that what has been given to us in time may be our healing for all eternity. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.